our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be given unto thee, O richly multiplied from God the Father, and from Christ Jesus the Lord, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The congregation, let us sing together the Psalter 29, the stanzas 2 and 3. 29, the stanzas 2 and 3. I keep before me still the Lord whom I have proved. At my right hand he guards from ill, and I shall not be moved. My heart is glad and blessed, my soul its joy shall tell, and lo, my flesh in hope shall rest, and still in safety dwell. 2 and 3 of Psalter 29. Let us next read the law of the Lord as you can find it in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. From Scripture we wish to read from the book of the Psalms, and thereof Psalm 16. A miktam of David. Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord. My goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. Their sorrow shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Thus far. A congregation, we hope to remember in prayer Mr. and Mrs. Teus and Joni Anker, who were blessed with a well-born boy this past week. Let us now try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing this morning hour. Most holy, eternal, glorious, and all-sufficient Lord, grant us deep impressions who thou art in all thy majesty, and also that we learn to humble ourselves before thee in the dust. For what is man but breathing ashes? Thou so great and glorious, and even though we have been created good and upright, we have become so insignificant, so loathsome, so guilty, an enemy by nature, a hater of thee, and a hater of our neighbors. O Lord, if thou art pleased to teach us in our heart some of these things, then we must do as Job of old, put our hand upon our mouth, for then we are altogether guilty. Then we are ashamed, then we have sorrow, that we have so rebelled against thee. But for such guilty wretches, thou hast also manifested the way of life, the Prince of Life, thy blessed and eternal Son. And he was willing to come to this earth, and he accomplished for his people a full redemption. He shed his blood, gave his life a ransom for many. Oh, the wondrous way of salvation devised by the O Triune God in all eternity. And not only was it devised, but it was thy pleasure to reveal it unto fallen men. Oh, that now we may still live in that time of grace, in that blessed day of salvation, before the day passes and we shall be summoned before the judgment seat. For from all eternity thou hast a people chosen by thee, loved by thee. They must be brought in, and they know not how that ever can be accomplished until their eye be directed outside of self. For a sinner that has been quickened cannot ever satisfy thee, cannot ever be pleasing in thy sight, except in Christ Jesus the Lord. Oh, we have commemorated that he died, that he cried, "It is finished," that he also committed his spirit into thy hands, O Father, and that he was forsaken in order that his people would never be forsaken by him. Our Lord, and then he not only was laid in the grave, but he rose from the grave, in order to apply that accomplished salvation, to quicken the dead to life. Oh, that blessed fruit of the resurrection of Jesus Christ the Lord. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. A wonder, Lord. What a wonder. And now we ask, may that wonder take place this morning, whether it be here or among those that listen. Wilt thou graciously bless thy word and testimony? For the Savior has testified, "I live and ye shall live also." Oh, that in this morning his word may prevail, "Ye shall live also," flowing forth out of his life, and then receiving the benefit of his death, life forever, evermore. O gracious God, we lay the whole congregation before thee. How many shall there be still walking for their own account, walking on that broad way that leadeth to destruction, walking but in a path of our own wicked choosing? Lord, wilt thou then come and blow with that north wind and with that south wind? Visit this garden. May the spices thereof flow out. Oh, come yet and convert young people, children, even the very little ones, but also those who are strong, who are in the midst of the busyness of life. But that thou wouldest teach, one thing is needful. But there are also elderly, our Lord, and indeed they incline towards the grave. And the day is passing like the chaff. Give a holy hastening for their life's sake. Come yet, Lord, and do quicken the dead. But we may also lay before thee all thy children dear. Wilt thou instruct them, nourish them with some manna in the wilderness, give them a little to drink of the water of life? Wilt thou strengthen them? Wilt thou gladden them, instruct them, and where needed also correct them, Lord? O, more and more thy people must experience needy and poor, afflicted, an empty beggar's hand. And at times it becomes a wonder that the hand is empty and not filled with the things of this life. But wilt thou now also visit them in this morning hour? For at last the end is well for all those in whose life thou hast begun. And that is in and through him who was dead and now lives forevermore. But Lord, are there also some, or we would hope many, who have no name here below, who walk along with a Cleopas, and he also had a hope, but that hope had vanished. There is a remnant that has no name, that fears all is deceived, all is imagination, all is too short for eternity. A people that cannot come anywhere. The world has become death. And thy people are blessed and they do not belong. And yet they carry so much of sin in their heart. A riddle. A riddle is their life. Why am I thus? The strife, the difficulties, the burdens and the cares. And on the bottom of their heart, oh, it is a wonder if it happens again, a yearning for thee, a cry to thee, a sigh unto the Most High. Lord, wilt thou visit them also in this morning hour? And wilt thou instruct them in that way everlasting? Remember then the whole congregation. A young couple received another child, or perhaps the first, we do not know. But Lord, give them humble hearts, thankfulness that the mother's life was spared, and another life in the family was given. May it be one that is born to be born again. Oh, wilt thou then also visit them in thy grace, that the child may be blessed with praying parents, but also a husband and father who must have treatments again in this coming week. Thou knowest what he needs. Oh, give that they may be blessed, that he may yet receive a measure of health restored. Most of all, wilt thou give that the affliction may be sanctified. For the knock comes on his door. Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Oh, then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall, and he groaned, and he wept, and he mourned. What a wonder. Undertake for me. With all that had happened, he could not die. He needed that surety. Lord, may that be a blessing given unto him and unto others. Thou knowest all the burdens, the cares. Be with the mourners and the lonely ones, those who have frailty and other crosses to carry. Thou hast spoken also in the midst that a brother elder was taken away some time ago. And Lord, be then with the widow, with the children, the mourners, and grant that same grace. But Lord, thou hast also again been mindful of the congregation, that thou hast directed all affairs, that another one may take his place, and hopes to be installed in this afternoon. Lord, we commend him. or son unto thee. Lord, help him continually, day by day, night by night. Oh, teach dependence upon thee. Lead and guide. And may there be Aaron's and hers for him, for the whole congregation, for the whole consistory, and for thy servant who labors here. Oh Lord, that they may yet receive to be carried upon the wings of prayer, and most of all to be included in thy interceding prayer, O Savior. For him, for thou art heard by thy Father always. Remember thy servant. Lord, strengthen him day by day and week by week. Supply what is needed in his body, but also in his soul, that he may be granted the strength also, the desire and the unction from above, this afternoon to go before the congregation, and may we be gladdened then by thy doings. Lord, remember us in mercy, but also look upon thy Zion over the length and breadth of this earth. Work among Jew and Gentile. Work yet also upon the mission field. Lord, we carry before thee the missionary minister who has received calls, that he may be taught by thee in his soul, but taught by thee also in the way that he ought to go. Lord, grant what is needed in this coming week also, with a classical meeting that shall be held. Look upon us and give thy help. Remember us now, Lord, a world in turmoil, and thy church so often oppressed or conformed to the world, the judgments, the darkness hanging low, and nevertheless thou dost reign, thou dost continue, thy work must needs have an end. Oh, that we then may also have an eye upon thee, O God, that the last one is not yet brought in, and that it would yet be a spur unto young and old. Lord, convert me, as thou hast converted all thy people. Lead and guide. Maybe also bring before thee the school with all the needs and all the wants. Lord, grant through grace conversion in the students, also conversion among the teachers, conversion among the school board, but that also parents, grandparents, may yet end up on their knees. And Lord, wilt thou then remember, for thou hast begun, and Lord, we of ourselves can only ruin. But wilt thou then yet revive and strengthen and give a returning unto thee? Be with all thy truly called and anointed servants, and those who labor in vacant places also at home. Our Lord, wilt thou then provide, and also in the future in thy favor give those that may study to be thrust forth into thy vineyard. Remember us then, Lord. The needs are far more than we can all see. But all that we may be brought at thy feet in this morning, For here below the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God shall endure to all eternity. O Savior of Zion, be mindful of us today. We ask it in the pardoning of all our sins, for the name of Jesus, for thy covenant's sake, O Lord. Amen. Psalter 322. This stands as 1, 3, and 4. 1, 3, and 4. How shall the young direct their way? What light shall be their perfect guide? Thy word, O Lord, will safely lead, if in its wisdom they confide. 1, 3, and 4 of 319. nicknam of David. These words were written above this 16th Psalm. But what do they mean? And what do they teach us? The opinions vary. Some think that word miktam refers to an instrument or to a tune. Others say it simply means a writing, but are marginal notes that are so valuable. Say miktam of David means a golden psalm. And then it is a reference to an ornament made of the finest gold. Thus, miktam is a treasure of the best gold. Now, David was a mighty king, and he possessed vast treasures that he had all collected for his God. He desired to build a house for the Lord, and his son Solomon then accomplished that. But none of David's treasures was so precious, so valuable, so costly, and so desirable as this one treasure, namely the Word of God. In Psalm 12, David mentions that the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the fire, purified 7 times. And in Psalm 119, he says, I have rejoiced in thy statutes as much as in all riches. So miktam of David is a golden psalm. So much so that there have been those that said we should write them in golden letters. It is a psalm worth to be engraven so we can at all times see it. Miktam of David. But congregation, is now God's word your miktam? Is now that holy Bible your golden treasure that you value more than anything else here below? Do you belong to those who are described in Psalm 119? How blessed are they to make God's word their treasure, who keep his testimonies and display their love to him whose goodness none can measure. Or do you miss it? Then you are not blessed, but then you are still cursed. It is one of the two, congregation. Psalm 16 is miktam of David. And why? Because it contains golden treasures, spiritual, precious, everlasting treasures. And the greatest treasure, that is to have Christ in our hearts. And it is about that great treasure that Psalm 16 also sings, that he was humbled low, and that he also rose again. And that resurrection of Christ we have spoken about in the various congregations, and also here that was done. What is now the fruit of the resurrection in your life and in mine? Have we been blessed by the resurrection of Christ, that he rose from the dead? With God's help, we wish to speak about this miktam, this golden psalm of David. And then we shall hear about that treasure that blessed treasure of Christ, and that he also gives unto his people. Psalm 16, verse 11 lies before us. There we read, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." The fruit of Christ's resurrection. The fruit of Christ's resurrection. And two thoughts. The path to eternal life and the blessing of eternal life. The path to eternal life and then the blessing of eternal life. The psalm is of David. And so at the beginning he speaks about himself, his needs, his concerns, and he is given to lay that before the Lord. "Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust." And you read in verse 5, "The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance, and of my cup thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage." And the old Reverend Kersten was on his deathbed. The Lord used those words to comfort him. "The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places." But David is not only a pilgrim here below. And in that regard, he is also an example of all God's children. But as the Lord was leading David further and further in singing this 16th psalm, it becomes evident that there is a one that is greater than David, that he is a type, an example for God's people, but also a type of Christ Jesus, the Lord. And see, then the further we come in that psalm, the clearer it becomes. It is a messianic psalm. And so it is a psalm in which David prophesies. When we read the last verses, "My flesh also shall rest in hope. Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." And you read what Peter was preaching on Pentecost. He quoted these words and he applied that directly to Christ. And Paul, when he preached in Antioch of Pisidia, did the same thing. So indeed, it is a psalm that speaks about the death of Christ, that he was buried in the grave, but also that he rose again. And see, then we come close to what we have commemorated in the past days, namely that Jesus was raised from the dead by his Father. And then we can also begin to understand that even as Christ was humbled, and that he was also raised again, that he was exalted to glory, so Christ, as the head of his people, will have them follow in that way under the cross, like Simon of Cyrene. But then also the blessing from the death and from the resurrection, and that is life everlasting. The head is exalted, and then all the members of Christ will be exalted likewise. And see, then the text has value. Receive light. "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." so that Christ received that place of honor and glory in heaven means that God's children here below, in the strife and in the warfare and in that waste howling wilderness, have a hope in Christ. And that is a well-founded hope. That is a hope that shall never be ashamed. The apostle said, if only in this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now Christ is risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. So eternal life is waiting for all God's children. And that is now the blessing of the Savior's resurrection. That is the fruit that we speak about. The path of life. What is that? That is the opposite of the path of death, which we all have chosen wickedly, willfully, and voluntarily in paradise. Because then we chose death over life. Then we rebelled against God. And ever since we are walking in darkness, in the ways of death, we are groping for the wall like the blind. Oh, of ourselves, we are never seeking that path of life. And we are never finding that path of life. For the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him. Are you still walking on that path of death? That is a solemn question. And it is a searching question, because that is the broad way that leadeth to destruction. That is the way on which we are all by nature. Wide is that gate, and we all enter in thereat. It is the way of that rich fool. Let us eat and drink and be merry, and tomorrow we postpone it. Tomorrow we die. It is the way of Haman, that wicked Amalekite, honor and glory and outward treasures and enmity against Christ and his people. It is the way, the pathway of those that are vain company, that are gluttons, that are drunkards, and that have empty laughter and no more. But it is also the way of the rich young ruler with a religion that has no value for eternity. Oh, it is the pathway of those that seek the things which have no value for eternity. Then we walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Then we stand in the way with sinners. And then we sit in the seat with the scorners. Are you still on that path of death, congregation? And then do not answer too quickly, but ask the Lord to search you and to give that light. There is a people that is made honest, and they learn by grace that they are on that wrong path, hastening onward. But there is also a path of life. That's what the text declares this morning. That is called the way everlasting in Psalm 139. That is the way that the Lord Jesus spoke about. This is life eternal. That they know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. It is the way of holiness and the way of true happiness in God alone. It is that narrow way, through that straight gate, and that only leadeth to life. That is a way that shall not mislead you, that shall not deceive you, that shall not bring you into sin and into destruction. That path to life, path of life is the way, and that is Christ. And what does he say of himself? I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. If we are on that pathway of life, then Jesus is the guide. He is the truth. He will lead, he will instruct, and he will bring to life everlasting. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In the original, that word life is in the plural. You say, why? That was to express the fullness, the abundance, the preciousness of that life. There are so many blessings that God's children receive in that path of life. Here that is but the beginning, but then in eternity that shall be a fullness of life everlasting. Blessed is the man whose strength thou art. Thy ways are hidden in his heart. He treads the highway to thy dwelling. We asked, are you on the path of death? Or may you say that you are on that path of life? You know what the text says? Thou wilt show me the path of life. And that is indispensable. Thou wilt show me. I can never find it. I never want to find it by nature, because we have begun to tread that path of death, following Satan, that prince of darkness, that liar and murderer from the beginning. But it is only a wonder of sovereign grace that shall accomplish this showing, that path of life unto my soul. And what is that now showing? That is not being a signpost that is as dead as the wood it is made of, pointing perhaps in the right direction, but not walking in that way. That's not what this word show means. It is included, of course, yes. But to show here means to cause me to walk in that pathway, to bring me onto that narrow way. Then it is God that leads me and that keeps me on that way. He brings me in that way, and that is necessary, for else I wander. He alone has to hold my hand, lest I would falter, lest I would wander astray. Now, that is the fruit of Christ's resurrection. Do we not read it in the psalm? My flesh in hope shall rest. And that is true. And then it is, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. What happened unto Christ? He left his throne, his glory, willingly. And he was born in Bethlehem's stable, and he suffered, he bled, he died upon Golgotha, he was laid in the grave, and then he rose, and see. Then it is evident that he walks on that path of life. He walks on that path of life. Have you now learned already, young and old, that we are by nature on that path of death? Then you shall have shame and sorrow and guilt and grief. No, then we do not go hopping and skipping and running onwards. Then it is not that the world attracts us and all the pleasures thereof. No. But then you hear the cry, show me thy ways, O Lord, and teach me thy paths. It is the cry of a quickened soul, if the Lord will lead and guide. That is one who does not know the way. That is the one who does not know the Lord. What wilt thou have me to do? Lord, take me by heart and hand. Hold thou my hand, lest I would falter. Oh, and then the Lord will lead into that way. How? By weeping and supplication. And that is then the right way. That is the way through the wilderness. That is the way through this veil of tears. That is the way of having to turn around entirely, going in a different direction, and with Simon of Cyrene being brought under that cross. It is the way of denying self, bearing that cross, and following the Lord. Oh, do you know what it is? It is, Lord, give me now an experimental knowledge of that way that is not vague. No, that is knowing that path where it leads me. Lord, wilt thou plant my footsteps on that way? And that is what David learned. Sinners are by thee instructed in the way untrod before. Oh, that is a people that can never do it and find that way themselves. But then although there are many trials and many tribulations, although there are crosses and afflictions, though there are enmities that assault, it is the way of holiness. It is the way in which the fool shall not err. It is the way in which God's people are so safe, because no enemy shall ever come on that way. They may try to shoot their arrows, but no enemy shall be able to walk in that way of holiness, and neither shall the lions and the bears and the beasts of prey. It is that path, that way, it is Christ himself. And then he leads to that life eternal. And then no matter how difficult, no matter how dark, no matter how with much distress you must walk in that way, it is the path of life, spiritual life here and eternal life hereafter. So what is now awaiting? Eternal glory, never-ending bliss, being in God's presence forevermore. Are there now such travelers here? Or must we go lower this morning? Are there such creepers here? Such sighers? Perhaps a worm of Jacob. And a worm cannot continue so quickly. Are there those that are so lame, that have broken legs, that do not know how to proceed anymore? Remember then that the text says, thou wilt show me the path of life. Thou wilt. Or when you say there is no way anymore, it is through the impossibility. The way is hedged up. That is the way of the Lord. That he will make it possible. That he will give the opening where we see no opening. It has to become a hopeless case time and again for that people. But this remains sure. Thou wilt show me that path of life. because at last the members of Christ shall be where the head of Christ is, and that is in heaven, that is in that Canaan above. And see, then David is given to sing further, not only that path that leads to eternal life, but he also is given to write about the blessings of that spiritual life. What do we read? Thou wilt show me the path of life, and then in thy presence is fullness of joy. In thy presence, that also means with thy countenance, or before thy face. Think of Psalm 31. With my countenance upon thee, thy way shall be made plain. Then the Lord teaches with his eyes. He protects, he keeps, and he cares. His presence, says David in 42, is salvation. So in thy presence is fullness of joy. What happened in our fall? We ran away from God. And we hid ourselves and tried to cover ourselves with fig leaves. And the Lord said, where art thou? And he summoned Adam and he summoned Eve, and they stood there naked, guilty and ashamed, with terror in their conscience before God. They could not exist. But when the Lord now comes in the life of such a sinner, then he shows them his grace. Then he gives them saving mercies. You see, then he comes and he draws that sinner to himself. And that is then the gracious presence of the Lord. Jehovah's kindly face gives happiness and grace. Ah, congregation, are there now those that need the presence of the Lord? You know what Jesus said in the Beatitudes? Blessed are the pure of heart. They shall see God. You say, but that is exactly where it is impossible for me, because I am not pure in heart, not pure in hands, not pure in feet. I am altogether loathsome and leprous and guilty and polluted. But remember that Jesus spoke that word. And what is this psalm about? That he went into death for his people, and that he merited salvation for his own. And then by his blood and by his water, he washes and cleanses those people. And he gives them the forgiveness of all their sins. And he restores that communion. Was that not a portion of Cephas? Was that not a portion of Simon the son of Jonas? He had forfeited everything. And what did Jesus do? Jesus sought him and revealed himself unto his disciple. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Congregation, what I wonder that is, that fullness of that joy. When the Lord lifts up his countenance, when he does not frown, but when he smiles, that is joy for one who is undeserving. When the Lord lifts up his countenance, then he communicates that joy in the hearts. Oh, then he looks from that holy and high habitation, but he looks down upon him that is humble and of a contrite spirit. And then there is that fullness of joy that indicates it is satisfying. It fills you with joy beyond any compare. And if we now consider those so-called joys of the world, then really those people have never enough, and they always want more. It never truly satisfies. And whether it is now carnal pleasures, or whether it is scraping together so many riches, everything else here in this transient life, we shall have to leave behind, and they can never satisfy the soul. Oh, are you still seeking the pleasures here below? I have to see that. I have to travel there. I have to possess such and such. But it is empty. It is vanity. And it shall pass away. But now hear what David says in the text. Oh, you can hear him. That he tries to allure. That he tries to make you jealous, young and old. In thy presence is that fullness of joy. And that word joy again is in the plural. That is a joy so rich and so varied. The poet says, near thee all is well. And that is the beginning here below of eternal joy. And that is felt in the heart. Oh, therefore you could see David dancing before the ark of the Lord, though his wife despised him. Now with joyful exultation, let us sing Jehovah's praise. Has that never happened in your life? Never. Then you are poor. Then you are so utterly poor. Oh, pilgrims here below, what shall you now hear at the end of the pilgrimage? Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. What a wonder, what a surprise that shall be, congregation. Oh, let the righteous blessed of your joy in their God as never before, faith's victory achieving. That is now the joy that begins here. And that is the joy that shall forever continue hereafter. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Shall we sing of that first? Psalter 7. Psalter 7. The stanzas 2 and 3. Lay upon God's altar good and loving deeds, and in all things trust him to supply your needs. Anxious and despairing, many walk in night, but to those that fear him, God will send his light. 2 and 3 of Psalter 7. if we may experience something of God's presence, if we may be given to see Him, well then He is in view, is He not? And then not only shall we live in comfort, then we also shall die in comfort. Then we shall receive heaven in view, that eternal glory that is to come. And pilgrims here below, has it now ever happened that your eyes were lifted above the circumstances, that you were given to see beyond all that is here below, that troubles and that wearies? For it is true, how great is that good that thou hast laid away for them that fear Him. We read it, at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. At thy right hand, and who is sitting there? Christ, the Savior, that living Redeemer, that precious Mediator, the one who has undertaken to purchase His people. And He sits at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. That is the place where that love of the Father is shown, where the power of the Father is evident, where the favor of the Father is so clear, where the glory of God is so manifest. Oh, and now the text says, at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. So there are pleasures, delights, things that make the soul joyful and glad more than anything here below. Oh, you know what those travelers then shall receive. Then they shall receive those pleasures and drink of the waters of life forevermore. Oh, that is such an abundance of those pleasures once again. For what does the Lord do to those people? He gives them that white stone, the forgiveness of their sins. He gives them a new name that is written in that white stone. He gives them the crown of life. He clothes them with that wedding garment to enter into that wedding of the Lamb. Oh, then they receive comfort here below, the foretaste of the glory and the joys that are in heaven. Then there is safety for God's children, and that safety is everlasting there in heaven. Oh, then the people that may dwell there shall hear the song of Moses and of the Lamb. They shall be given also to magnify the Lord and praise Him forever and forevermore. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Forevermore. That means no end to it. And that is awful if our portion shall be with the devils, in that fire that shall never be quenched, in that place where there is gnashing of teeth and the worm dieth not. No end to that darkness and that woe and those torments. But David says, at thy right hand, O Savior, O God in heaven, there are pleasures forevermore, everlasting, always enduring and never ending. That is now what David says in one of the Psalms, that is bliss beyond compare. Have you now heard, young and old, that God's children have a future? That God's children are truly rich? And that there are times in their life that they are so inexpressibly joyful in the Lord? And when God's children die, they shall rest in hope. They may be despised here and slandered and oppressed and cast aside. Oh, they may be troubled and trampled upon. And no words can ever express that. But then they must learn to walk in that path of the Master. For the servant is not greater than the Master. But now David is given in our text to use such enlarged expressions. He says the path of life, life in the plural. In thy presence that joy in the plural, and then the fullness of that joy. And at thy right hand the pleasures, again the plural, and that forevermore congregation. Paul said it, did he not? Eye hath not seen, and ear has not heard, what God has laid up for those that fear him. Poor worldling, if that is not your portion, then you are poor indeed, and you miss the glories that abide, that only can ever satisfy it. And if you miss it now, and no grace intervenes, then you shall miss it forever and forever, if only I had hearkened. Oh, then fall before God and bow before him. Beg for mercy. Flee from that wrath to come. Be ye reconciled unto God. Consider then the things that belong unto thy peace. Seek ye Jehovah and his power. Seek ye his presence every hour. Today, oh, do not postpone. But today, if ye hear my voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God shall endure forever. Oh, do you know what this now teaches? That the path of life is the path on which the Lord places all his people. And even though they may be just at the very beginning, it shall still be true for all those travelers on that way that God will prove to be their portion for a. Then we shall see Jesus crowned with honor and glory. There is a reason that God's children become so glad with the humiliation of Christ, that he paid the price and shed his blood. But he is so eternally worthy that they are so glad to hear that he is exalted, and that he receives the glory that is due unto his name. Oh, and then they are glad when in heaven you shall see that Savior crowned with honor and with glory. Oh, then he proves time and again that he is the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Where shall we then be, pilgrims? In that new Jerusalem. Then we shall ever dwell in the palace of the King. Then we shall be partakers of that marriage supper of the Lamb. then we shall behold and have enjoyment of the company of those holy angels. And all the Lord's people throughout the centuries. But most of all, what shall make us joyful people of God? To see Him as He is. To see the King in His beauty. Oh, here glimpses, yes, and how sweet they are. But often so short. But then to behold Him not through a glass darkly, but face to face. To have our eyes fastened upon Him, congregation. And then we shall cast that crown before Him. And then we shall sing His praises never ending. Pilgrims then, let here already on earth, in that pilgrimage, your conversation be in heaven, there where Christ sitteth at the right hand of His Father, that you may be given the strength and the cheer to walk on that path of life. For troubled though your pathway be, then God shall revive and strengthen me. Oh, let your life then be a longing life and a praying life. And what petition? It is that petition of John on Patmos. Come, Lord Jesus, yea, come quickly. Amen. Lord, wilt thou apply the truth? Wilt thou yet cause it to enter in, that there may be some, could be many, who go home with a breach in their heart, with a sorrow that they try to hide for others, with that awful realization that we are on that path of death still, and with a holy jealousy that there is a path of life, and a people whom thou dost bring on that path of life. Oh, wilt thou then yet give that blessing upon within the congregation, encourage and strengthen thy people also this morning. And we beg of thee, remember also the widow of one of thy servants who was studying. Give her the same portion that her husband received. Be with thy servant now in this afternoon. Lord, grant Aaron's and hers. Gladden us with thy doings. We ask it all for Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalter 32. Stanza 4. When I in righteousness at last thy glorious face shall see, when all the weary night is past and I awake with thee, to view the glories that abide, then I shall be satisfied. 4 of Psalter 32. Now depart in peace and receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.